As I open this message, I want to say most of the time people will start this message in Ezekiel chapter 37 with a question. And they will start it with the question, can these bones live? And that's usually the title that is given to the message, can these bones live? But I want to start with the answer. Yes, these bones can live. Hallelujah. Yes, these bones can live again. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. Oh, hallelujah. And I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. Oh, hallelujah. An exceeding great army. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the word of God. Your word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive today. You said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, rasata la bahata. God, let these words find a lodging place in our hearts today. God, let the wind of heaven, the breath of God, breathe upon us today, God, and raise us up. Make us that mighty army in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I came to this house today somewhat heavy in heart because there's so much bad news. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I just don't even listen to the news anymore. And I know that's one way of dealing with it, but the truth is, there are things happening in this world we do need to know about. Amen. And my heart is heavy today as I think about Paris, France, and how ISIS murdered over nearly 130 people and wounding 300 others. And then a few days ago, some of you may not have heard about it, but a 9-year-old boy was lured into an alley in Chicago and brutally murdered. And we could go on, and talk about all the problems and all the bad news and the things that are happening in this world and all the feelings of hopelessness and despair. And it almost looks a little bit like looking into Ezekiel's boneyard. We see a bunch of broken bones, a bunch of loss and confusion and darkness and brokenness and emptiness and desolation and hopelessness and fear and depression and discouragement and disease. And but I want to stand here today behind this pulpit and I want to prophesy to this church and I want to prophesy to anyone who's listening wherever this message goes. And I want to prophesy to you today and I want to declare to you on the authority of the Word of God, these bones can live again. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't come here to start this message by asking a question, but I came to prophesy and declare to you that these bones can live again. Now I want to tell you how these bones are going to live again. You say, I know, preacher, pastor, I know God is going to send a miracle, and he's going to send a great and a mighty revival, and he's going to raise them up again. And you would be right, but you would also be wrong. You would be right in the sense that it is miraculous, and it's going to take a supernatural move of God, and it's going to take an act of God. But you would be wrong if you think it's a solo, sovereign act of God, because the truth is, God is in partnership with you, and God is in partnership with me. And the truth of the matter is, the miracle is you. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, the miracle is you. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you, you and I, we are the Ezekiels of 2015. We are the Ezekiels of this area of five cities. We are the Ezekiels of Grover Beach. We are the Ezekiels of Arroyo Grande. We are the Ezekiels wherever you go, my friend. God counts on you to be an Ezekiel to your valley of dry bones. And we're going to prophesy to the valley of dry bones. And we're going to see a miracle of God's divine power and God's divine glory, and we're going to see restoration, and we're going to see healing, and we're going to see the power of God manifested. God is waiting on you. We're waiting on God, but God's waiting on us. We're going to prophesy. Say, look at somebody, say, prophesy.
Prophesy.
Say, prophesy,
prophesy
to your valley of dry bones. Say, neighbor,
you got a valley.
Prophesy
to your valley.
I'll prophesy to my valley. Say,
neighbor,
you're the prophet of your valley of dry bones. And listen, God expects you to be the prophet over your valley of dry bones. God expects you to prophesy to those dead places and dead things and dead people in your life. And can I go further and tell you, God has made you responsible for your valley of dry bones. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, see, somebody, see, I lost some people right there because you thought I was responsible. You thought pastor was responsible. You think it's his job to preach and prophesy. But no, my friend, you are responsible. The moment Ezekiel became aware of the valley of dry bones, he became responsible for them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody say responsible.
Responsible.
Now, there are dry bones everywhere. They're dead bones. They're dead people all around us. All around us are broken people, wounded people, hurting people. All around us are people who have quit dreaming, quit believing things could ever change. They're locked in abusive relationships, some bound by drugs, alcohol, some bound by lust and perversion. Some are angry, some are sad, some are suicidal, some are caught in the trap of homosexuality or lesbianism and feel like there's no way out. Some are sick and medical science doesn't offer them any hope. But these bones need to hear a prophet. Look at somebody and say, you're the miracle. Say,
you've got the power.
Just prophesy.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi Sanda. Come on, lift your hand. I feel the Holy Ghost doing something. Just lift your hands for a minute. Oh, Rasada Labo Kandaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In that valley of dry bones, you see, oh, the maladies, all the brokenness, all the disappointments, sickness, disease, disorder. You see all kinds of abuse, everything represented in that valley of dry bones. But those bones also represent another group of people. Ezekiel 37:11, he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. These bones represent a church that has grown cold, A church that's lost her fire. A church that's lost her passion and her zeal for God. A church with no power. A church with no covenant. A church with no anointing. They know about God, but they don't have a relationship. Oh, hallelujah. They go to church. They sing songs about God. They even preach about God, but they're dead. They're the ones the Bible is talking about when it says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Can I tell you, my friend, Jesus said the New Testament church would be alive. He said the New Testament church would be on fire. He said the New Testament church would have power and they would have authority. He said they would cast out devils in His name. He said they would lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said we are living stones. He said we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. The New Testament church is alive. Look at somebody, say, I'm alive. Now shake somebody, say, are you alive?
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Woo! I feel some life in here. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. But here in Ezekiel 37, we see a church going through the motions. They're the ones Jesus talked about in Revelation. He said they're lukewarm. He said, I would rather that you be hot or cold. So then because you are lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But I'm so glad, even after that horrible rebuke, I'm so glad Jesus followed it up with these words. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What does that mean? Let me say, is there hope for a lukewarm church? Is there hope for a church that has become worldly, that has lost her fire? Is there hope for a people that have lost their first love? Is there hope for a people who are in love with looking good, but have no power? Can these bones live? Thank God they can. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God they can live again. I know it may look impossible. I know the modern American church may look more like the world than the church, but just like those dry bones in Ezekiel's boneyard, these bones can live again. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them they can live again. Now tell your neighbor on the other side they can live again. Oh, now I want you to prophesy and say they will live again. Oh, yeah. God said, prophesy and say unto these bones, thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. It's the answer. The word and the spirit. The word and the breath. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. That's an important word right there. As I was commanded, not what I think, not what you think, not what's popular opinion, not what people want to hear, not what makes you feel good, not what makes me popular, but as I was commanded. Can I tell you that as a man of God that hears the voice of God and speaks as His spokesperson, there are sometimes God tells me to say things that are not popular. There's sometimes I have to preach messages that don't make me feel good and may not make you feel good, but I got a responsibility to prophesy as I am commanded, because He told me if I will prophesy as He has commanded me to, then He will put the bones together. Oh, hallelujah. And He will put meat on those bones, and He will put skin on those bones, and He will put breath in those bones, and He will build a mighty army. I just got to prophesy.
Amen.
Say, prophesy, man of God.
Prophesy, man of God.
Thank you. I believe I will. Can I tell you, this is why we see such a lukewarmness and powerless church today. People don't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, They don't want to hear the word of God that commands them to repent of their sins. They don't want to hear a word from God that convicts them of their sins. They just want someone to speak blessings over them. Tell them how they can prosper. Tell them how they can feel better about themselves. How they can have a more comfortable, more satisfying life. But can I tell you, when the pure, unadulterated, full strength, undiluted gospel is preached, it shakes people up. Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel said, as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking. Let's look at the noise for a minute. A noise is a sound. A sound is an indicator of something happening that's not yet revealed to the eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say it again. A sound is an indicator of something happening that is not yet revealed to the eyes. Has anybody ever been in a real earthquake? Have you ever been in a real earthquake? Have you heard an earthquake? Have you heard the rumble of an earthquake? Before you ever saw what was happening, you heard what was happening. I think it's interesting that the first sign of change in that valley was a sound. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say a sound. Oh, I read that scripture. It reminded me of an upper room in Jerusalem where 120 men and women were assembled together to wait on a promise from Jesus. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Bible said there came a sound from heaven like as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first sign that a change was coming was a sound. The first sign that their voices were heard on high was a sound. And it's also interesting to me that the first sign of new life is a sound. Immediately when a newborn is pulled from the womb, if the baby's not already crying, the doctor will strike the newborn sharply with their hand on their bottom. Not because the doctor wants to inflict pain, but because the sudden painful experience causes the infant to cry out, which necessitates breathing. So the sound is the sign and the evidence of a new life. Everybody say, the sound is the sign. For 9 months, the infant grows inside the mother's womb, surrounded by body fluids. All nutrients, breath, or oxygen are supplied through the umbilical cord. But when that infant cries, oh hallelujah, it means breath is coming. New life is coming. The sound, the noise in the valley meant things are changing. Something is coming. New life is coming. Breath is coming. Somebody shout out, I hear the sound. Say, I hear the sound. Say, it's coming. When the word of God is proclaimed in Pentecostal power with Holy Ghost authority in its pure, undiluted, unadulterated form, it will always produce a noise. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, there'll be some hallelujahs. There'll be some thank you, Jesus. There'll be some glory to God. There'll be some rejoicing. There'll be some shouting. There'll be some praising. There'll be some repenting. But there will also be opposition. There will be voices that are angry. There'll be voices that are critical, that are resentful, voices that contradict. They will argue. They will say, you're just condemning and judgmental. They will say, it's not that straight. It's not that black and white. They'll say, you're just a hater and you're a law preacher and you're just trying to bring us into bondage. But you know what? It's a good sign. Look at somebody, say, it's a good sign. Say, noise is a good sign. Even when they're contradictory, it's still a good sign. Why is it a good sign? Because whenever there's noise, it means things are waking up. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. It means things are waking up. And then the Bible says there was a shaking. That's what the pure word of God always does. It shakes. It shakes the sleepy. It shakes the self-sufficient. It shakes the lazy, the lukewarm, the indifferent. It shakes us out of our complacency. It shakes us out of our hiding places. It shakes us and forces us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. It shakes our dependence on our own goodness and our own abilities, our own gifts and wisdom. It shakes us and it reveals what is sand and what is solid rock.
Oh, I want you to lift your hands and say, thank God for the shaking. Come on, thank God for the shaking. I'm getting ready to prophesy. I'm getting ready to prophesy, so I want you to work this word. I want you to get this word in your spirit. God, thank you for the shaking. Thank you for the shaking.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm standing here today with as a prophetic voice, and I'm going to prophesy to you from this pulpit that there is a major shaking that is coming to America. There is a major shaking that's coming to our modern American sleepy, sloppy, sinful, comfort-seeking, money-minded churches. And listen, it's not the devil who's going to be doing the shaking. It's not the devil. Now, we just got through saying, thank God for the shaking. But you listen to me. I'm not prophesying to be popular. I'm prophesying because I have a mandate. And I have a responsibility. And I want you to know what's happening and what's going to happen. In Ezekiel 13, God speaks about this modern day, lukewarm, pleasure-seeking, self-promoting church. And he says, their prophets prophesy out of their own hearts. They have spoken vanity. They have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. One built up a wall, he said, and others daubed it with untempered mortar. What does that mean? That means one raised up a teaching and an ideology, and the others all come alongside and started slapping their untempered mortar on it. What is untempered mortar? It means word or teaching or doctrine that has not stood the test of time. It's not been proven. It's not been through the fire. It's not tempered. He said they come and they daubed it with untempered mortar. But listen to what God said. I will rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Thus will I, this is, everybody say God. God says, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say, this is what God says, and will say, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. I'm telling you, friend, there is a major shaking that's getting ready to come to the modern American church. I'm prophesying to you because God is telling me that there's a major shaking that is coming in every church, little, medium, or mega, that has been building on the wrong foundation is going to fall. Because God is going to shake it down. God is going to rend it with a stormy wind. Because God is going to shake it down. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind, command the wind, the breath to come. And he said, the wind, the breath entered into them and stood upon their feet. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I'm going to prophesy to you again.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Say, prophesy, man of God. There is a major shaking coming, and the reason I have to say this is because I want us to understand what's happening around us. We're building on the solid foundation. We're building on the rock.
Amen.
We're going to do everything we can to dig down deep and to hit the rock and build on the solid rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But there is a shaking that is coming through the land, and you're going to see major churches, mega churches, fall. You're going to see big ministries fall.
Because they have been building on the wrong foundation, and because they've been raising up traditions, been raising up ideas and philosophies, and been raising up ideologies and teachings that are not Bible. They're not the truth. They're not the solid rock. They're not the tempered word of God. They're not the word of God that is like silver tried in a furnace of earth 7 times, but it's untempered. And God says, I'm going to accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that daubed it with untempered mortar. Friend, I'm not saying this with a joyful heart, because it saddens me to think that there are people that have built great works that are going to crumble. But if it's not built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible says when the storm comes and when the rain comes, it's going to knock it down. It's going to shake it and it's going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. And I always thought about those storms and winds and rain as being the devil, as being the attacks of life. But I come to understand today that God is going to send a storm. There's a storm coming to the body of Christ, and it's coming to the churches. It's coming to the churches that have been building on the wrong foundation, who have been raising up a wall, and they've been daubing it with untempered mortar, and they've been prophesying a vision out of their own heart and their own mind, and not what the Lord has commanded them. I'm going to tell you, God is holding every minister personally responsible. But after the shaking comes the wind of revival. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. After the shaking comes the wind of revival. And there is a revival. I started this message by prophesying, these bones can live again. And I come to tell you, the church in America is going to be great again. I came to prophesy to you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like or what it sounds like. I came to tell you the church in America is going to be great again. I came to tell you we're going to see Book of Acts men and women of God that are going to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're going to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. We're going to see the devil cast out. We're going to see the captive set free. We're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see the signs and wonders. We're going to see it again. Because God has not forsaken His church. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's happening in America. I came to tell you, God loves His church. And God is going to visit His church with revival. Revival is coming to the body of Christ. Revival is coming to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is raising up another generation of prophets, preachers and teachers and disciples, and they're going to preach, prophesy, and declare the pure word of God without fear, without favor. They're not going to be manipulated or intimidated by this culture. There are so many ministries today that base their entire ministry on cultural relativism. And we preach a culturally relative message until we tear the heart out of the gospel. Until it has no power to convict. It has no power to expose sin. It has no power to heal and no power to deliver and no power to set the captives free. My friend, if we preach the gospel, it will be relevant. If we preach Jesus, it will be relevant. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's not my job to preach a culturally relative message. It's my job to preach Jesus. And if I preach Jesus, He'll be relative to your need. He'll be relative to your problem. He'll be relative to the situation and to the sin that holds you in captivity. And he will set you free. And he will heal you everywhere you hurt. Everybody say, preach Jesus. They're not going to preach or prophesy for money or for popularity. They're going to preach, prophesy, and testify because the Word of God is burning like a fire in their bones and they can't hold their peace. And the wind of God is going to blow across the land.
Thank you, Lord.
A cleansing wind, a purifying wind, a sanctifying wind. And God is going to confirm his words with signs following. God is going to confirm his word with miracles, signs and wonders. Captives will go free. Homosexuals and lesbians will be set free. Alcoholics and drug addicts will be set free. Families will be restored. Marriages will be healed. Cancers will fall off. Blind eyes will open. Oh, yeah. Deaf ears will unstop. Can these bones live? My friend, thank God, yes, they can. They can live again. That's what I came to prophesy in this house today. Yes, they can. They can live again. These bones can live again. We can be great again. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be great in America again. And I'm going to go further than that. And I'm going to tell you the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be great in America again. We're standing on the verge of the greatest revival that's ever hit planet Earth. I'm telling you, my friend, we're standing on the brink of the breakthrough into the greatest manifestation of the power of God that the church has ever seen, that the world has ever seen. But it's going to come after a shaking. There is a shaking that is coming. And God says, prepare my people for the shaking. Would you stand to your feet today? Come on, raise your hands for just a minute. Stir this atmosphere. Oh!
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend.
Hallelujah.
I love you. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God loves his church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his bride. And when he sees this false doctrine, and when he sees these teachers and leaders and false prophets, the Bible calls them false prophets, prophesying out of their own hearts a vain vision, building up a wall and daubing it with untempered mortar. God gets angry. The Bible says, I read it to you. God says, I will accomplish my wrath.
Yes.
I don't take any pleasure in seeing any people fall, but I do take pleasure in seeing God's house being clean. I do take pleasure in seeing purity coming back to the house of God. I do take pleasure in seeing holiness being the standard, being raised up in the house of God, and being lived by God's people. And God is restoring holiness to his people, for our God is holy. Hallelujah. 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 This message is to prepare us for what is coming. So number one, you won't be knocked off your rollers when it happens and say, my God, my God, how could that church fall? My God, look how big that ministry was. My God, look at how many thousands and millions of people those people reached. Have you ever heard anybody say, if all those people believe it, it can't be wrong?
Have you ever heard that? Look at all the people they're reaching. It can't be wrong, my friend. Listen, Jesus said there's two ways. He said there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. Listen, I used to think he was talking about the broad way being sin. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about within the church. He said there's a broad way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. And he said many there will be that will go therein, and it's a path that leads to destruction. Said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there will be that find it. I just made up my mind. I'm going to be part of that few. I'm going to be part of that few. And I'm going to do everything in my power to help people so that they can stand when the shaking comes. So they can stand, because after the shaking is coming a wind. Wind of revival is coming. So God is giving us time to get ready, to prepare for this revival, to get our hearts ready, so we can cooperate. How many knows that when you go down to the ocean, you can't create that wave, but you can get yourself ready. And when the wave comes, you can jump on that wave and you can ride it. I believe this last wave of revival, we're going to ride it right into heaven. We're going to ride it right into heaven. I'm going to ask you today, you know we need revival in America. If you know we need to repent in America. If you know we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, and if you want to be a part of the solution, I want you to come. I want you to join me right here in the front of this building. Move as close to the front as you can. I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of this revival move of God that is coming to the land. We're tasting it. It's the tip of the iceberg. It's just a touch. But we're tasting it. We're tasting revival is coming. Revival is coming. I hope, my friend, that you don't leave here with a negative sense about what I've proclaimed to you today, because this is not negative. It's as positive as it can be. Because God wants us to cooperate with Him and participate with Him in bringing in this greatest revival that the world has ever seen. God says, Ezekiel, let me paraphrase for just a minute. God said, Ezekiel, I want to visit that valley of dry bones. I love them. I see the condition they're in, but I love them. I see they're lukewarm and indifferent. I see they're broken and they're hurting and they're wounded. I see a lot of them are just going through the motions, but I love them, Ezekiel. And I want to visit them and I want to heal them. And I want to raise them up and I want to make them a mighty army. But Ezekiel, I can't do it by myself, Ezekiel. I need your help. Will you cooperate with me? Will you let me use you? Will you let me speak to you and speak through you? Will you let me bring my wind through you? Oh, Rasila Baka, la 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 la. Will you let me use you as an agent of revival? Will you let me? Can we cooperate together?
Yes, Lord, I thank you, God.
That's what he's saying today. Can I use you? Can we work together to bring revival to five cities? Can we work together to bring revival to the Central Valley? Can we bring revival to the coast? Come on, lift your hands up. And if you say, yes, God, you can use me. Here I am, Lord. Make me an instrument of power. Here I am, God. Make me an agent of revival. Make me an agent of change.
I believe your word today, God. I believe your word today, God. I want to be an agent of change. I want to bring revival to my community, God. I want to bring revival to my workplace. I want to bring revival to my family. I want to bring revival, Lord, to our community that needs you, God. Lord, to this five-city area, God. Lord, wherever this message goes, Lord, let the spirit of revival break forth, God. Let the glory of your power, Lord, break forth, God. Lord, send a mighty wind of revival, God. Lord,
bones. Heal the broken bones, God. Heal the broken hearts, God. Restore ministries, Lord. Oh God, build your church, Lord. Build your church, God. Build your church strong, Lord. Build your church upon this solid rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, build your church on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we're hungry for you. We don't want religion. We don't want tradition. We don't want philosophies. We don't want the teachings of man. We want the doctrines of God. We want the truth of your word. We want the power of the Holy Ghost. We're not satisfied, Lord. We're not satisfied, Lord, with the form of godliness. We want the anointing. We want the power of the Holy Ghost, God. The power that destroys every yoke. The power that sets the captives free. The power that heals the sick. The power that opens blind eyes. The power that makes the cripples to walk. The power that delivers the bound and sets the captives free. We want the power of your anointing, God. Visit your people again, God. Lord, send the wind of revival, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be ready for the shaking. Help us, Lord, when the shaking comes, Lord, we won't be shaken. We won't be shaken, Lord. We won't be shaken off our foundation because we're building on the solid rock. We're building on the solid rock. Oh, God, when the winds may come, the storms may come, the winds may blow. Lord, we're building on the rock, Christ Jesus. God, I thank you for that revival. I thank you for that anointed revival. I thank you for these agents of revival. I thank you for the anointed men and women of God that says, I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution, God. Breathe on me, God. Let your breath breathe on me. And breathe through me, God. Prophesy through me, God. Prophesy to my family. Prophesy to my community. Prophesy to my children. Prophesy, Lord, to my workplace. Use me, God. Make me an agent of change, God.
For surely, it is coming, saith the Lord. And I would even say to thee that it is already beginning. The shaking is already beginning. The rumblings of the earthquake are already beginning, saith the Lord. Yea, and you may look and you may say, but I just see them building stronger and bigger all the time. But the Lord would say, do not be deceived, my little children. And do not be confounded, because though they may be building, even as they built the Tower of Babel, I am coming down, says the Lord, and I will confound them, saith God, and I will knock down their Tower of Babel, saith the Lord. For I will have a pure foundation. And that which built is built must be built on the truth and must be built upon the pure foundation of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
For I am coming, saith the Lord, even as I said, to examine all of the works. I'm coming to examine the works, saith the Lord, and that which is not built upon the truth, it shall fall, saith God. For I, even thy God, shall knock it down. I shall rend it with a stormy wind, saith God. Yet even out of the breaking and out of the shaking will I bring forth a remnant people. Yea, I will bring forth a people who are starving, a people who are hungry, a people who are thirsty, a people who have been deprived of my presence and deprived of my worship and deprived of my love. And they shall come forth, saith God, and they shall seek out places like yours. They shall seek out places where the glory of God is manifested and where my presence is manifested. And I shall receive them and I shall build them up, saith God, and I shall strengthen them and I shall make them indeed a great and a mighty army, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is how the prophetic ministry works. It sees things ahead and it begins to take those things to God in prayer, to either position us to cooperate with God for that to come to pass, or for us to intercede for it not to come to pass. That's how the prophetic works. It's either to position us so that we can cooperate with God for what He's bringing to pass, or it's for us to know what is coming so God can bring us to intercession to keep that from happening. What I want you to do is I want you to take someone by the hand today. And what I want you to do today, right now, is I want you to pray with me for all the people that are in these places that are being deceived, that are being led astray, that are not hearing the truth, and they're starving for truth. They're starving for the presence of Jesus. They're starving for the power of God. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them that God will preserve them and God will bring them out of the shaking. Pray for them. Maybe you don't even know their name. That's okay. God knows them. He said, I know them. I know my sheep and they know me. I know my sheep. God says He's going to bring them out. God, we pray for those sheep today, God. Lord, that are in these places. Lord, they're starving, God. Lord, they're big congregations, but they're starving, God. They're not hearing the gospel. They're not hearing a pure word. They're not receiving the anointing that delivers, that sets them free, that establishes, that empowers them, Lord. And we intercede for them tonight, God, or today. We intercede for them, Lord, that through the shaking You'll preserve them, God. That through the shaking You'll keep them, Lord. That through the shaking, Lord, You will navigate them, God. And You will bring them to shepherds that will feed them. You will bring them to shepherds that will love them. You will bring them to shepherds that will pour truth into them and will heal them. Oh, God.